Thank you for letting us be a part of your day. Regardless of the changes that are occurring in the world around us, one thing that will never change is the powerful promises of God's Word. I want you to be encouraged as you listen to this message today.
Scripture reminds us that when we come together as believers, we have unimaginable power given by His love and grace.
We have the power to crush the force of evil that threatens to destroy America right now. Let's use it and take America back to God the Father and to the Word of God.
Are you willing to take the challenge and change the course of history?
God has awesome power. He's waiting for you to ask Him to help you release that power, to defeat your enemies, to make a way where there is no way, to give you the provision that you've been searching for. Our God is an awesome God, wanting to demonstrate His power.
Stand for the reading of God's Word. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, as we continue our sermon series, Absolute Power, with this message, The Power of Forgiveness. Just to review what we have covered so far, we began several weeks ago talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we talked about the power of your potential. Last week, we talked about the power of two people praying together. Today, the power of forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the willingness to change your attitude about an existing relationship that's negative. The point is illustrated in this story. It was a pitch black night, and the captain of a ship sees a light dead ahead on collision course. He sends a signal, change your course to 10 degrees east. The light signals back, you change your course to 10 degrees west. The captain of the ship becomes angry. He sends, I'm a Navy captain, change your course, mister. The reply came back, I'm a seaman, second class, change your course, sir. The captain is now furious. He has a very negative attitude. He sends this message back, I'm a battleship, and I'm not about to change my course. The message came back, I'm the lighthouse, it's your call. Instant forgiveness. The two marks of Christianity is this, giving and forgiving. Do you find it hard to forgive? The problem with people forgiving and forgetting is they keep reminding you that they have forgotten and forgiven. Matthew 6, 14, 15, read it please. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. The synopsis of this sermon is this. Forgiveness is not optional. If you refuse to give another person, God will not forgive you. It's just that simple. Father God, this is your message. This is your word. We are your people. Let this message transform us to become the glorious testimonial of God's grace for mankind to forgive each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Listen as we begin. One, forgiveness without justice is abuse. I want to say that again. Forgiveness without justice is abuse. America's universities are covered with anti-Semitic Jew haters calling for the death and destruction of the Jewish people, talking about wiping out the Jews from the river to the sea. These Ivy League morons do not know which river or which sea. Is there forgiveness for these thugs? Yes, right after they've been sent to jail, right after they've been permanently expelled from that university, and for those who don't have American citizenship, to send them back where they came from. I repeat, there is no forgiveness without justice. How do you forgive when you can't forget? This is one of the hardest questions that I have been asked in 66 years of ministry. Years ago, a beautiful 16-year-old girl, a brown-eyed darling girl, sat in my office, tears streaming down her cheeks, shaking with convulsive sobs, describing in graphic detail how her mother's third husband savagely raped her. She said, "Pastor Hagee, how do you forgive when you can't forget?" That's a question many of you in this audience and thousands of people are asking. The millions watching by television and listening by radio around the world are asking as well. In the theater of your mind, there's a special day of horror or hurt, a moment in time when your heart was broken, your dreams were shattered, your life was stained, when the one you loved betrayed you, when your mother or your father forsook you, rejected you, abused you, or abandoned you. Perhaps you suffered through a bitter divorce, or you were pushed out of a job opportunity by a greedy friend. Perhaps you were promised things by your employer that never came true. Hear me. If you're ever going to live a normal life, a life of happiness, you must hear this message. It is not my message. It is God's message to you. The road to peace of mind begins with forgiveness. Forgiveness is the first act of your will, not emotion. If you wait until you feel like it, forget it. You will go to your grave bitter as gall. I asked this beautiful 16-year-old girl in my office, "Would you be willing to forgive your father's? Would you be willing to forgive your mother's third husband if he was brought to justice?" She said, "Pastor, I would do anything to escape this pain and agony that's in my heart and mind." I picked up the phone on my desk. Step one was justice. I called the police to send her mother's third husband to jail. That was justice. By an act of her will, not emotion, she repeated after me a simple prayer of forgiveness. You could feel the amazing waves of God's grace begin to heal her hurting heart. Only God can do that. A counselor cannot do that. Only God's Spirit can do that. That's the power of forgiveness. So I asked those of you who are here, who are hurting in an agony known only to God, whose pillow is stained with the tears in the darkness of the night, you are willing to forgive, not when you feel like it, because you will never feel like it, but are you willing to forgive? Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment. It's the power that breaks the chains of bitterness. Forgiveness brings restoration from rejection. I repeat, forgiveness is not optional. It is not optional. Matthew 6, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you give not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Now, I know that verse from heart because that's the verse my mother made my brother and I say to each other right after we had had a fist fight. And that was good until the next time. But we learned that verse. Colossians 3:13, "Forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Luke 6:37, "Forgive and you shall be forgiven." That's as plain as you can make it. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. The message is clear. If you won't forgive others, God will not forgive you. There are 62 words for forgiveness in the New Testament, and 22 times it means forgiveness for other people. Without that, there is no forgiveness for ourselves, not now or not ever. Secondly, forgiveness is the secret of absolute freedom. Forgiveness brings freedom from those that hurt you. The sweetest revenge is to forgive and forget. The instant you forgive, you are free from that scum bucket that hurt you. John 3:17, Hagee's edition. Jesus used his last breath on the cross to forgive those who were in the process of murdering him. They had beat him half to death with a Roman whip. They spit on him. They nailed his hands and feet to a cross. They split his side with a Roman spear. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This was his last example to the church about what forgiveness looks like. You say, "Preacher, that kind of forgiveness is unrealistic. It's absolute Tommy rot for mortals." Get real, all right? Let's get real. Years ago, I sat beside Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you know who Corrie Ten Boom is? How many of you have never heard of her? You don't know who she is? Wow, about half. Corrie Ten Boom was in Dallas at a luncheon for Christian authors. In one of the most delightful hours of my life, there were several hundred of us in that banquet, and she sat right next to me. She had just released her best-selling book, The Hiding Place, and the heart of America was being warmed by the grace and glory of her life. She was a victim of the Holocaust. The Hiding Place was a place in their house where they had created a hole behind a chest of drawers where they could put the Jewish people running or hiding from Hitler's Nazis. They were betrayed by one of those people, and all of them were sent to a concentration camp. In that concentration camp, her father died within 2 weeks. Her sister starved to death. Her nephew was killed by the Nazi brutality. If there was ever a reason to harbor hatred, she had one. The beatings, the starvation, the sadistic brutality of Hitler's monsters. She was released from that concentration camp by clerical error. Only God could have made that happen. But her testimonial, she was the main speaker, but her testimonial that day, that was for years she kept records of those Nazis, who they were, what they had done, hoping that at some time in the future there would be a court that would have the power to punish them. She said, after years of thinking about how good that revenge was going to feel, she said, in an act of forgiving love, she threw all of the records into a fireplace. And she said, as that fire consumed those records, the tears began to flow down her cheeks, and she was flooded with the presence of God that healed her soul of all the agony of the Holocaust. That, my friend, is the power of forgiveness. Are you willing to forgive, or do you get high on hatred? There are people who do. Do you relish planning your revenge? If you will not forgive another, there is no forgiveness for you, not ever. We're like beasts when we kill each other. We're like men when we judge each other. We're like God when we forgive each other. Forgiveness is a full pardon. It's a fresh start. It's a new chance. It's a new beginning. It's the canceling of a debt. It's walking out of an emotional hell into the gates of heaven. It can happen for you if you let it. Thirdly, forgiveness is freedom from the past. It's freedom from the past. When you refuse to forgive another person for any reason, it corrupts your whole life. Resentment doesn't destroy just one relationship. It will destroy every relationship you have. Resentment is the root of bitterness. The spirit of rejection spills over into every relationship and totally corrupts you. Listen to St. Paul, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. Look at that verse. Shall reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall reap the Spirit of eternal life. Here's the history of that Bible word corruption. Listen, in Roman times, when a man murdered another man, sometimes he was forced by the court to tie a corpse, to tie the corpse of the person he killed on his back and carry that corpse with him everywhere he went, night and day. When he ate, when he slept, there was no getting rid of it. The corpse rotted. The stench was gut-wrenching. The corruption of the corpse bred maggots, and it invaded the body that was carrying them. The result, you were killed by the corruption. That's the corruption Paul is talking about. Paul says the works of the flesh, strife, jealousy, anger, disputes, dissensions, and refusing to give one another breed corruption. That's why the Bible says it is a stench in the nostrils of God that will destroy you. Your unforgiving spirit has tied the corpse of the person you resent to your back. The gut-wrenching stench is destroying your relationship with God, with every person you know. Every day the sun comes up, the day is already fouled up because that thing is destroying you. Everything in your life is poisoned by that corruption. That's not my opinion, that's God's opinion. Run to the place of forgiveness and forgive totally. Get rid of that rotten, stinking corpse on your back and do it today in Jesus' name. St. Paul continues saying, those that sow to the Spirit reap eternal life. But the Bible, but Paul lists the 9 fruits of the Spirit. I want you to read this from left to right on the top line and following. Love, read it with me. Love, patience, faithfulness, joy, kindness, gentleness, peace, goodness, self-control. How many of you have all 9 of those in your life? 2 people. Think about it. There are 9 sermons right there. Where are you in this picture? Unforgiving, bitter, resentful, and covered with the stench of corruption? Or living with love that knows no limit, living with joy that's unspeakable, peace that surpasses understanding, that God only gives to those who forgive and forget? Where are you? Where are you? Refusing to forgive births resentment. Resentment is the soil that grows in the root of bitterness. Get that subject in your mind. Resentment is the soil that grows the root of bitterness, and it destroys the soul. Remember that statement. The root affects the fruit. Say it. The root affects the fruit. Resentment distorts the truth, and guilt is placed on the backs of the innocent. Resentment is the cancer of all emotions. It rots the soul like cancer rots the flesh. Is there someone in your life that has hurt you or is hurting you? Think about it for just a moment. An alcoholic father who tormented you as a child, or who came home drunk and abused your mother. Or perhaps it was your mother who left your father for a string of lovers. She abandoned you. She forgot you. Seldom, if ever, did she call you on the phone or for any reason. Or perhaps it was a business partner who cheated you in a business deal. Or a former spouse who betrayed you and left you for someone else. Listen to me. You will never be happy until you let go of the bitter root of resentment and forgive every one of those people. Forgiveness is essential to your happiness. Forgiveness is essential to your emotional well-being. We all have unforgiving Adamic nature. We all have that. You're born with it. Your carnal nature does not really want to forgive anyone, not ever. It wants revenge, even if it means holding on to the poison of the resentment for a lifetime. I had a parishioner at one time. When I preached a sermon like this, said, "Pastor Hagee, I will go to hell before I forgive that woman." I said, "Indeed you will. Indeed you will. You're already there." The Lord's Prayer, what a prayer that is. Forgive us as we forgive those. Forgive us as we forgive those. If you don't give others, God cannot forgive you. Compare the Old Testament with the New Testament concept of forgiveness. Under the Old Testament, which is the law, dealing with hurt was simple. It was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Someone did you wrong, you killed them that day. Instant revenge. That's the law. Then came Jesus and introduced the new covenant of the New Testament. Romans 12:17 writes, "We are commanded never to pay back evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Forgive us as we forgive those." Why did God allow people in the Old Testament live under the eye for an eye revenge method, but command us in the New Testament to forgive? What about our pain? That's the whole issue of the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he took the sting of resentment for you. He bore the pain of your rejection. He bore the burden of your betrayal at the cross. He bore the agony of your darkest disappointment. There's an old song of the church. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Do the Lord praise in the house. Forgiveness demands a change in your conduct. Forgiveness is not soft-hearted, mush-mouthed foolishness. God is in the cleansing business. He is not in the whitewash business. He is in the cleansing business. Forgiveness is full of compassion, but it demands a change in conduct. What I'm going to tell you right now is a message every church in America needs to hear, because of the message that's going out that you can perpetually sin and God will just look over it. That is a lie. God demands a change in your conduct. To forgive another person, listen, without demanding a change in conduct is to make the grace of God an accomplice to your evil. To make the grace of God an accomplice to your evil. The Pharisees brought the woman to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. It makes you wonder where they were to catch her. But that's not in the Bible. That's just in my mind. Jesus heard her story and said, "Go and sin no more." Message, he intended for her to change. He intended a change in conduct. He expected a new direction. a new attitude. Right now, a husband to the wife, will you forgive me for my adultery? Yes, if you'll change. Otherwise, hit the road, Jack, and don't look back no more. Forgiveness is not earned. It's accepted. Many religious people try to earn forgiveness by works. Oh, I'll give money to the church. God doesn't need your money. He has it already. It's His. He could knock you out and get it all right now. Your giving money is only going to measure what your reward's going to be in heaven. That's another sermon. Giving 10 Hail Marys or I'll join the church. That's not the answer either. Your goodness will never bring God's forgiveness. All of your righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. You're not forgiven because God loves you. You're not forgiven because you are emotional about your sin. You are not forgiven because you do good works. You're forgiven because you confess your sin and the blood of Jesus Christ has removed the stench of your sin from your soul at the cross. St. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:7, we have forgiveness through His blood. We have forgiveness through His blood. Not philanthropy, not 10 Hail Marys, not joining the church, but the blood of Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilt and stain. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Give Him praise in the house. When I was preaching behind the Iron Curtain years ago during the Cold War, when Germany was divided and the communists had complete control of East Germany, I was in East Berlin as an art critic because they wouldn't allow preachers in, of course. I know about art? Nah, nothing. Nada. I was in Berlin and a man walked up to me and said, "You're from the West." And I said, "How do you know?" He says, "Because you walk without looking behind you." East Germany was covered with KGB agents, and people were forever conscious of who was following them. He said, "You're walking without looking behind you." There's another interesting feature that I remembered in the first service I'll share with you then. We went to this church that was packed with young people. And I told Diana, "Communism is going to fail here. All of these young people are here." They were sitting in the aisle. They were on the platform. The only place I could stand was right behind the desk with my interpreter. And when I preached the sermon on peace, walked out, the service was over, and an 80-year-old East German lady came to me speaking German. I had to get my translator there. I said, "What's she want?" He says, "She wants your notes, and she wants to know if you have any gum." I said, "What she want with the notes? She'll take them and duplicate them and pass them out to her prayer group because Bibles are not allowed over here." And I said, "What's with the gum?" She said, "Anyone who has gum knows someone in the West. There's no gum over here. When you have gum in East Germany, it torments KGB agents. They want to know who you know in the West that could get you that gum." I said, "Tell her I don't have any, but tomorrow night I'm going to be down the road preaching at this particular place." And I said, "I'll have gum for everybody." That next day, we went up and down, Dan and I went up and down the street buying gum from every store that had it. When we got to that place, we had a sack of gum this big around and this deep, and brother, the Germans were there waiting for it. And we handed it out. When I got in the pulpit, hundreds of jaws. I said, brother, we have given the KGB a royal migraine headache. That's just a beside. But thank God for political freedom. Thank God for political freedom. Listen to me, America. These young people who are in the street, they fully intend to destroy democracy as we know it. It's time for the people who built this country to stand up for this country and give us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The greatest question in life is not what a man can scorn or find fault with, but what he can love and what he can forgive. Love, joy, and peace is what God gives to the believer. So how to forgive? Jesus Christ taught us the exact pattern. Forgive immediately, Matthew 5:23. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go away. First be reconciled with your brother and then come and present your offering. Here's one place in the Bible where it says, stop praying. Go and forgive your brother because God is not listening to your prayer. He will not receive the gift of a king's fortune over the stench of an unforgiving spirit. Forgive totally. Jesus, our beloved Jewish rabbi, told the story of the unmerciful slave. The king, who wished to settle his account with the slaves, called in his slave that owed him $10 million. And ordered him to pay up. When the slave announced that he didn't have the resources to pay, the king ordered him sold with his wife and his children into debtor's prison. The slave fell on his face and begged for mercy and pledged to pay all that he owed, which was impossible. It was an impossible debt. The 10,000 talents was more than 10 times the total taxes of that country. Nevertheless, the king showed mercy on that man and forgave him all of that debt. Then that man immediately got up, went into the street, and found a man that owed him $20 and had him thrown into the debtor's prison when he couldn't pay it. The fellow slaves watched this, and they went and told the king what happened. And the king called that man back in that he had forgiven of all that money. And he said, you wicked slave, I forgave you of all that debt because you entreated me. Should you now not have also had mercy on your fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you? And the king, moved with anger, handed him over to the tormentors until he should repay all the debt that was owed him. God turned that man over to the tormentors when he refused to show mercy, when he refused to forgive. The message again, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. God will send the tormentors coming for you. How many people have you locked in an emotional prison over a small, petty $20 offense simply because you refused to forgive? Don't talk about your right. You hold them hostage. But God will turn you over to the tormentors and your life will become hell on earth. That's not my promise. That's God's promise. Why forgive? Because forgiveness is essential to your healing. Jesus Christ is called the great physician. And he saw the relationship between forgiveness and sin of healing. He often said, thy sins be forgiven thee, be healed. be healed. 2,000 years later, the finest medical minds in America assure us that medical diseases may very well begin with raging, uncontrolled emotions. Anger, hatred, bitterness, rejection, jealousy are tormentors that cause high blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks, stomach disorders, and cancer. Why forgive? Not for the benefit of the other person, for your benefit. Forgiveness slays the expense of anger, the high cost of hatred, and the waste of creative energy. Run! Don't walk. Run to a place of forgiveness and be cleansed from that corruption. Call it catharsis. Call it repentance. Call it psychotherapy. Call it what you will. Just do it, because the great physician who is the author of this text says that's the answer. The power of forgiveness can restore your home. Jesus told the story of the prodigal son, a Jewish boy who rebelled against the authority of his father. His life was destroyed. But in the final analysis, the thing that saved the boy was that there was a father at home that was willing to forgive him. Now, I preached a whole series of sermons on that one story, and someday I'm going to go back to that. But I assure you, you will never live a day of peace when you refuse to forgive. I close with this story. The story is told of a rebellious young man who broke the law and was sent to jail, prison, for 8 years. He knew his parents were deeply hurt by his foolish, deep mistake. And he was shamed by his imprisonment. As the time passed, he didn't know whether his dad would let him come home again after he was released from prison. So he wrote a letter to his mother stating that he would be released in a few days and he would take the train home. "If you and Dad will let me come home again, please tie a piece of bed sheet to the oak tree beside the railroad track, and I'll get off the train. If I do not see the ribbon of cloth in the tree, I will know not to get off the train, and I will never contact you again." The day came for his release from prison. He walked to the train station and bought a ticket. With every turn of the wheels, the tension grew inside, wondering if there were going to be any cloth ribbons in that tree. As the train rounded the bend and led to their farm, he could not stand to look. Fearing he would be rejected and unforgiven, he asked the man sitting next to him, he said, "Will you please look out the window to see the tree next to the railroad track and tell me, do you see a cloth ribbon tied to that tree?" The man looked out of the window and said, "No, I don't see one ribbon. I see hundreds of ribbons tied to every branch. Ribbons are tied to the friends. Ribbons are on the clothesline. There are many ribbons of white. It looks like it snowed on that farm. What does it mean?" With tears pouring down his face, he said, "It means I've been forgiven." He jumped off the train and was reunited with his family. Are you looking for forgiveness? Come home. Your heavenly Father is waiting. He put his son on the cross so that you could be reunited, that his forgiveness would be total and miraculous. If you're suffering after today, it's because you want to. This is your opportunity to take the corruption and to throw it in the bottomless abyss and for you to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Can you stand to your feet? I want to ask you this question. How many of you in this room, as the ushers come to prepare the Holy Communion, how many of you in this room have someone that you need to forgive? Someone in your family, someone in your business, someone in your past life, someone that has hurt you. in the past, and the agony of that is still in your mind and it's in your heart. You need to forgive that person or persons. If that describes you, slip your hand up right where you are. Hundreds. Hundreds. More than half of this audience. The rest of you can listen to my sermon next week, Thou Shalt Not Lie. Hold your hand up. I want everyone in this audience to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, in the authority of Jesus' name, I approach your holy throne. And today, by an act of my will,
I forgive.
Those that have hurt me, those who are tormenting me. I am giving it to you to carry. And now I receive the peace of God.
That surpasses understanding.
Like Corrie Ten Boom, I'm burning the books. And I'm going to receive God's joy. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Ushers, prepare to serve the Holy Communion. Pastor Matt.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Sing. Sing again, oh, the blood. Sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There's healing in the blood. Sing. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. It was your voice, sing, oh, the blood, sing, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, sing, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as it washes white as snow. Are you thankful for that today? It washes white as snow. As powerful as the blood of Christ is to cleanse and relieve you from the burden of your sin, you prevent him from doing so when you harbor unforgiveness towards others. Today you have heard the word of God. And if we're going to receive this communion and celebrate the redemption that Christ gives to us, then let us release those that we harbor unforgiveness against so that we can walk in the freedom and the liberty that Christ has come to give. For Jesus says, as they were eating, took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat, for this is my body. Can we receive the symbol of the Lord's broken body? And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Can we take the symbol of the Lord's shed blood? He said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Church, today I am thankful for the power of God's grace and His redeeming blood. Today I am thankful for the salvation that His only begotten Son has given me. But most of all, I'm thankful that soon and very soon we are going to see the King of Glory as He enters this earth, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house today?
Lift your hand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make His face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His peace. May He flood your heart and life today with a spirit of forgiveness, that your whole life can be filled with peace that surpasses understanding, with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, with accomplishment that will help you achieve God's divine destiny for your life. Walk and live in the peace of God. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. God bless you.
As Paul wrote to the New Testament church, whenever we consider the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should comfort one another with these words. I also pray that you have the opportunity to share this message with your friends. Invite them to be a part of this podcast and give them the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's not a lot of places on the earth where you get the opportunity to receive the truth as it is declared in Scripture. And I encourage you to invite as many as you know to be a part of this conversation. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today. We also would love for you not only to subscribe to this podcast, but tune in every Thursday as Kendall and I have the opportunity to share a conversation about things that make a difference in your everyday life. God bless you guys. If you need anything from Cornerstone Church or Hagee Ministries, you can find us online or social media at sacornerstone.org and jhm.org. God bless you. We'll see you soon.